I want to continue on the Renewal of the Mind series, the Total Man series. But before I do, I want to emphasize something that I mentioned, I think on Sunday, to you, so that you can take your walk with God more seriously. I made a statement, and it's a statement that many people in the so-called hyper-grace gospel don't like. And it's an eternal fact, I'll show you from the scriptures, that the actions you take in the physical can greatly impact your spiritual life. That is, you can do certain things in the flesh, in the natural, but they will carry a great spiritual significance. A great spiritual significance, which then underscores the fact that you need to pay attention to what you are doing in the natural. All the steps you're taking, the actions you're taking, the life you live, the lifestyle you embrace. You know, because you and I know we live in a generation where people tell you, really doesn't matter what you do with your body in as much as your spirit is not affected. You know, it's not your spirit. It's your body doing it. You know, like there are pastors who drink alcohol and they will justify it. And they tell you, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, they probably even put one or two scriptures together. There are Christians who live in fornication and they say, well, we're human and it's all right. God understands we're human. And does it really affect my salvation? Does it affect the salvation of my soul? but I want to show you tonight before I move, because that came very strongly to my spirit. Before I move to what I want to teach you, it's still in line. So that you can begin to consciously renew your mind to the Word of God. Why do I want you to renew your mind? I have one goal, one objective in this series, and I'm going to start a training tonight. I have my manual already, which will be shared like they did in the other church by our Father in the Lord, Pastor Alex Adeboye. The one thing that I want us to achieve by the help of the Holy Spirit is called radical change. Somebody say radical change. I want radical change in your life. But a transformation. Discover that many Christians are reformed. They have become, since they gave their lives to Christ, they have become a better version of themselves. And that's cool. You know, people even say it, motivational speakers say it every time on social media, you know, be a better version of yourself. That should be your life goal. Be a better version of yourself. You know, become a better you and all of that. And that sounds cool. But in the spirit of Christ, it is not about becoming a better version of yourself. It's about becoming a new man, a completely new man. Can I have an amen to that? In 2 Corinthians 5, 17, the Bible says, wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a reformed man. Is that what the Bible says? Is a better version of the old man. Is that what the Bible says? Come on, talk to me, church. Is an improved version of the old self? No! The Bible says a new creature. A new creature. All things have passed away. We're not dealing with refurbished stuff here. Refurbished laptops. A refurbished laptop is not the same as a brand new laptop. I hope you know. Christ didn't give us this life. This Zoe in us for us to be reformed or refurbished, but for us to be transformed. To be completely new, a radical change. Many Christians live and die without actually changing into the image that Christ expects of them. And it all boils down to the renewal of our mind. If your mind is not renewed, you will not enjoy the best of God. If your mind is not renewed, you will not be the version of you that Christ expects to see. And it's dangerous because, you know, you may just have some testimonies here and there. God did this for me. Gave me a car. Gave me a house. And those will be very nice testimonies. After all, I'm making more money in my business. And you think that that's all that there is to being born again? No. There are people who are not born again who have much more of those stuff, you know. They have more money than we do have. They have more cars, more houses, more connections. They can buy us in terms of the natural. If you say you are born again, therefore, there must be something you have that they don't have. No matter how much money or influence they have, there is something in your spirit man that is not in their spirit man. And that's what I want to draw your attention to. But on the way to that, I want to show you a few scriptures tonight that underscore the fact that the life you live in the physical, and I want you to pay attention to it, is affecting your spiritual life. And that everything you do in the physical can bear a significance to your spirit. I understand that it is the spiritual that determines the physical. I know that very well. I know that when you pray in the spirit, I know it can determine a lot in your business, in your school, in your academics, in all you do in the physical. I know that when someone is switched off in the realm of the spirit, it's only a matter of time. They will die. They'll be switched off in the physical. I understand that. I know that while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18. I understand that perfectly. But I also want you to know that the things you do in the natural, everyday choices that you make have an impact on your spiritual life. Let me show you a story. Exodus 17. Israel had gone out in battle, and Joshua was leading. And Moses, verse 9, said unto Joshua, Exodus 17, verse 9. Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out, and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Moses had the rod of God in his hand. Physical action. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Notice they didn't go with Joshua to the battlefront. Joshua went to the battlefront. But Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed as long as Moses' hand was up. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed because his hand got tired in the natural. And so as the hand came down, gradually, the enemy was prevailing. But Moses' hands were heavy, right? You can't blame the elderly man. If I do like this right now, it looks like it doesn't mean anything. But if I do this for 1 hour, I'll begin to feel something. If you do this, I don't care how many days you go to gym in a week. If this is all you do, after some time, you'll begin to feel that, this in itself is an exercise. Your hand will begin to be weary, you start feeling some pain. So Moses' hands, the two of them, were heavy. And so they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, until evening. Aaron took one hand, held it up. That was his job. Hur took the other hand, held it up. That was his job They put a stone under Moses, so Moses sat down and then they held up his two hands. That was a physical action. Lifting your hands is not spiritual. This is it. Physical. You can lift your leg. Physical. Yet, it carried a significance in the realm of the spirit. So much so that as long as those hands were up, from the realm of the spirit, they had victory. So in the physical, they had victory. When those hands were down, they were being discomfited. And so the Bible says, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. This must be for a purpose. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. This is where Jehovah Nissi comes from. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. The Lord is our banner, Jehovah Nissi, and he will have war with our enemies from generation to generation. Can I have an amen to that? This was a physical action carrying a spiritual impact. Was in the hands of Moses. Let him let down his hands if he wants to let down his hands. Who cares? Oh, you don't care? They would have wiped Joshua and all the armies of Israel out. This is an Old Testament example, isn't it? Remember my point? The things you do in the natural have an impact on the spiritual. Lifting of hands, having an impact on a war. Whether you'll have victory or you'll have defeat, based on the man standing for you, interceding for you, ensuring that, God, I'm asking for victory. And as long as his hands were up, you had the victory. Though it was a physical action. Let's go to the book of Psalms 84. And verse 7. It rained almost all day today, and so many people are not in church now because it rained. Like, they were not in church on Sunday because it rained. I don't know when or why rain should stop a believer from getting to church. Oh, Pastor, you can say that because you have a car. Well, there was a time I didn't have a car. And the good news is, I came to church in the rain, and I was happy coming to church. The rain could deter you from coming, but you could tell the rain, I'm going to prove to you that I'm going to get to church. Everybody says, are you crazy? Why are you walking in the rain? You are very joyful in your spirit because you are fulfilled, knowing that nothing can stop you. Nothing is going to stop you. You are unstoppable. I don't know when Christians are going to grow. You will agree with me if there was an announcement, well, if you make it to that meeting, you're going to have a grant of 250,000 naira to start up your business, or at least to boost the business that you already have. 250K will be given to you. Just make it to that meeting, and then it's raining. Will you go or not? Don't say 1 million. Don't say 250,000. People will trek from Ojo to Mokola. People will trek from Monia to Mokola to come and collect 250 in this economy. But you know, because we don't see God in the physical, so you're not even sure that God is in the church. So why should you defy all odds to be in church? But look at what the Bible says. It says they go from strength, Psalm 84 verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before God. Zion represents the church. So as they go, you don't understand that our coming to church every Sunday and every Thursday is actually impacting our lives. Some people don't understand that until there's a crisis in their lives. The church is a place of refuge. Refuge from the storm. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on out there. Ask people, especially who have had mental health issues. They understand the power of community. They understand when somebody reaches out to you with a text message or a phone call, just ask after you. When people are in depression, they don't want to talk to anybody naturally, but they are dying for not even talking to people. They want comfort. They want family. They want fellowship. They want love. They want people around them. When we come to church, every time the doors are open and we come and we congregate together like this, we pray together, we dance together, something is happening to us in our spirit life, in our spiritual life. We might not be able to place our fingers on it. That's why sometimes, you know, you come to church with a lot of burden. You have a load of care on your heart, on your mind. You can't explain it. You're just not feeling yourself, as you say. But then after service, it's like that load has been lifted off. Nobody physically came to lift off a load, but it's lifted. You just know you're much better now just by coming. You were not the preacher. You didn't even sing in the choir. You didn't lead the prayer time. You didn't do anything other than you raised your hand, you managed to sing, and then you danced, and then you sat down to hear God's word, and as you're leaving, you feel a lot better. You say, wow, I think I feel really good. Yeah, because every time we appear in Zion, we go from strength to strength. All we need to do is to ensure we appear in Zion. Are you with me, church? Coming to church is a physical thing, isn't it? When people say, it's a physical thing, isn't it? I didn't get a response. Coming to church is a physical thing, isn't it? I can see you all. I'm not looking at your spirits. I'm looking at you now. I'm looking at your bodies. Amen. It's a lie when someone tells you, oh, no, Pastor, I'm with you in the spirit. I can't come to church physically, but I'm with you in the spirit. I can't see your spirit here. I cannot. When we need to act drama, we need human beings that have bodies to act drama. We don't need people that will send their spirit to church. While they are at home, they sit on the couch, and then they are watching TV and enjoying ice cream and pizza. But Pastor, don't worry, I am with you in the spirit. My spirit is with you. No, your spirit is not here. As a matter of fact, if your spirit should depart out of your body, you'll find yourself in heaven or maybe in hell, whichever. That's why the three of them must be kept together. Are you with me, church? Man is a tripartite being. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou... No. I'm trying to quote 1 Thessalonians 5:24 now. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body, the three of them, be preserved blameless, without blame, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The three of them must be together. When the spirit departs from the body, that is called death. If the soul departs, it will depart with the spirit. It's also death. If the body says, look, spirit and soul, you are strong, but as far as the body is concerned, I've expired. I'm weak. I can't carry on anymore. Which happens to many people who exhaust themselves. People literally expire their bodies. They use their body to the point that they don't rest. You don't balance it with good diet, good sleep, and all of that. When the body expires, death happens. So the three of them must always be together. Everything you do in the physical has an impact on your spiritual life. When we talk about prayer, prayer, first of all, is a natural thing. You start it in the natural. Let me show you 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 46. 1 Corinthians 5. Is it 5 or 15 now? It's 15, sorry, not 5. 15 and 46. All right? It said, how be it? That was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. There, it was talking about having a natural body, but then there's a spiritual body. You find that in the previous verses. And then it talked about the first Adam, who was made a living soul, and then the last Adam, who was made a quickening spirit. The last Adam is Jesus Christ. There is no other Adam coming after Jesus. Amen? But then, with further explanation, that verse said, howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual. It's usually not the spiritual first. It's usually that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. When you kneel down to pray and you lift your hands, is that spiritual? Talk to me, church. Is that spiritual? Is there anything spiritual in kneeling down? Anybody can kneel down. There's nothing spiritual in that. Is there anything spiritual in saying, good morning? So when you go on your knees and you lift your hands and you open your mouth and I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, is that spiritual? Come and talk to me. No. Oh, because I said Jesus. Okay, what I say, Father, Buddha, Pakistani, is that spiritual? Physical. So if I start praying in the name of Jesus, it is still physical. It is natural. But you and I agree with me that a point will come when the spiritual dimension will catch up with that physical action. Are you with me, church? I will go in the realm of the spirit and begin to pray in the supernatural language. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And by the time I stop, that which I started in the natural winds up in the spiritual, but then it doesn't end in the spiritual. It will now take resources from the spiritual and bring them to my physical life. It can come in form of ideas. All of a sudden, a particular business you've been trying to do and you didn't know the way out, you didn't know how to start, boom, an idea just comes and that's it, and then you run it and then the business is successful. It could manifest in form of favor. Somebody just comes and favors you. Your phone could just ring after your prayer. Boom, that's it. Somebody shared the testimony with me yesterday. Said, you know, he came for prayer on Monday, and every Monday when we pray, 2 hours, when we are done praying, I say to the people who come, I said, sustain it with an hour every day. Maintain that. That's how to maintain that tempo. An hour every day. You were there on Monday. An hour every day. So yesterday, I just saw the guy, and then he said, Pastor, you know what? You told us to be praying 1 hour every day. I said, yes, I did say that on Monday. He said, after my 1 hour, my phone just rang, and it was an employer that called him, and it was a dream job that both of us have been talking about. Boom! He said, well, they said, I'm going to start the job next month, but I need to meet the family to work with today. And that was yesterday. So, your prayer starts in the natural, but it goes into the realm of the spiritual. It arranges things. It arranges events. It disorganizes some things. And then organizes and reorganizes certain things. And then in the natural, you begin to see results. It is that which is natural first. The same thing with sin. When you begin to commit sin, it's in the natural. I mean, when you kiss somebody, there's nothing spiritual. You can't kiss anybody's spirit. You kiss their lips. And whatever you kiss. Well, it's just a weakness. And then you kiss again. And then you kiss again. A time is coming. The spiritual dimension of that thing will catch up with you. You do it so much that you say, well, I can't kill myself. Everybody's doing it. Where did you hear that from? Some little devil just whispered that into your ears that everybody is doing it. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Not everybody is doing it. I tell you, God always has a remnant in every generation. Don't you ever make the mistake that every young person in a relationship is kissing. Or maybe even out of a relationship. Don't you ever make that mistake. Don't you ever. And if you're serving God diligently, don't you ever make the mistake of being proud and you think you're the only one. Nobody else is serving God. There are many other people who have not bowed the knees to Baal. Can I have an amen? I want you to get that tonight. And I've shown you at least about 3 scriptures. There are more scriptures. But because that's not my focus, I don't want to spend all my time on that. Everything you do in the physical, everything you do in the natural. You see some people, they call them gossips. Ufufu, they talk too much. For some of them, they actually need deliverance because they've gone to the spiritual dimension of that lifestyle. You will know that this person needs deliverance. You can't talk in a meeting and he's in that meeting and you beg everybody, please let's keep this here. This is confidential. This is for our consumption. Please, don't even get home and discuss this with your parents or your siblings. This is a church affair. Please, let's carry this burden into the place of prayer. I'm telling you, as you are leaving that meeting, the next place is going to broadcast that news. You think that is natural? You think that will be cured by advice? Sit down, let me advise you. Please, you are talking too much. You are wasting your time. The spiritual dimension to that thing, that gossip thing, has entered that brother or sister. You realize that some people that steal, they don't steal because they lack. Their parents have money. They're from well-to-do families. And they still shoplift. In Europe, it happens to white people. White people. One of our girls in this church who schooled in England, she said she was eating. She went to the library to read in the night. And she left what she was eating, went to the bathroom. By the time she came back, the two people that were reading in the library had taken her stuff. White. So she looked at them and said, no, it can't be real. So she walked up to, it was a boy and a girl. What's happening? That's my, maybe pizza or something. The girl said, yeah, I stole it. I stole it for him. And she was smiling like, nothing wrong. I'm sorry, I stole it for him. Does it make sense? Do you know people who will go to supermarkets? They would have bought stuff worth 50,000 naira by themselves. And they will steal stuff worth maybe just 20,000 or 10,000 and hide. And CCTV has caught up with them. So when you want to beat them, maybe at the checkout table, they've already paid 50,000 for what they bought. And as they want to go, say, excuse me, ma'am, please don't go. Because the security CSO has signaled that, don't let that lady go. And by the time you search them, what they stole is just 5,000 or 10,000. Someone who has bought items worth 50,000. You think that is natural? The spiritual dimension has caught up with them. Everything always starts in the natural. If you don't control it, if you don't deal with it prayerfully, people get to a point where their conscience becomes seared with hot iron. At that point, they are never guilty anymore for whatever they do. They have explanations for it. Amazing. Let's go on tonight. Have you been blessed? Let's pay attention. So you can imagine when we read the Bible. You know, reading the Bible is natural. It's like reading a book. You're reading God's word. I've shared that to encourage you. Don't close your Bible. Read it every day. I know sometimes it could appear boring. Like, I'd rather go to Netflix. You'd rather watch videos or even watch Bible videos. Someone knows what I'm talking about. Or watch a sermon. That's a lot easier, really. It is a lot easier than opening the book to read. But let me tell you. Every time you open the book to read. In fact, the Bible says that blessed are those who, for reading, you are blessed. I want to be blessed every day. So open it every day. It is a natural activity, but it is adding value to your life spiritually. Do you agree with me? You know, sometimes you're just reading something and then you are stuck. You want to read an entire chapter, but you are stuck in a verse. Why? Because that verse is speaking to you. Really? This is in the Bible? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God actually gives. He gives victory. Ah, glory to God. I'm connected to you, Lord. The Bible says you give victory. So in this situation I'm going through, I receive victory in the name of Jesus. And you are not able to even move to the next verse. Because that word is now speaking to you. But you started it first in the natural by reading it. That's why you should go from reading to studying, from studying to meditation. And that's why we should not, according to Hebrews 10:25, forsake the assembling together of one another or of ourselves, as some will speak their English. Hebrews 10:25, it said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't forsake our gathering together. Don't run away from Bible study. Don't run away from church on Sunday. The Bible says, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's a physical thing to come to church, but it is adding spiritual value. But if you stop coming, something will be happening. Oh, no, nothing. Nothing's going to happen. Ah, for missing church one Sunday, what if it was the day that God actually packaged the word for you? Special package. And backsliding is a process. It's a gradual process. Miss one Sunday, plus one Thursday, plus two Sundays, plus two Thursdays. After a while, man, it's been 3 months I've not been to church. Something has happened to you in those 3 months. You might not know, but in the realm of the spirit, you've lost a whole lot. You have lost something. In the realm of the spirit, there is no neutral line. There is no sitting on the fence. You are either advancing or retrogressing. You are either making progress or you are retrogressing. The Bible says to not forsake our assembling together. That's why we fought against COVID. Some of us fought COVID to its knees. You can't do that. COVID attempted to separate us. Even in the family, you can't hug. You can't hug your family members. My wife will go to market and she will come back. Ah, go to the bathroom first. Go and have your shower. The kids will want to hug us. Say, no, don't hug us. Just stay where you are. For what? Spirit of fear pervading the atmosphere. We fought it to a standstill. Where's the COVID now? We hug like no man's business to the glory of God. He says, as the pastor, you can't lay hands on the sick. I said, Jesus said, lay hands. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. COVID said, don't lay hands. Jesus said, lay hands. Who do we obey? I laid hands during COVID. Oh, you might catch COVID. I said, it's impossible. If I pray for anybody with COVID, I cannot catch it. I cannot. Let me show you the scripture I used. Go to 1 Peter. 1 scripture. What it says is that you are redeemed by the incorruptible seed. 1 Peter either 3, no, it's not 1, I think it's 3, or is it 2 Peter 3, redeemed, I think it's 1, it's 2 Peter, Lord have mercy, and I think it's verse 23, wherever it is found. Just look verse 23. Look up verse 23 somewhere. Somebody will get there before me. First Peter. I'm back in First Peter. I'm looking for it now. We have to get it to. This is called Bible study. Or maybe I'm not getting the verse right. Have you found it? I said verse 23. Can you imagine? What was I looking at? Because I didn't mark it. 1 Peter 1:23. Thank you, media. God bless you. It said, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Are you born again? One person. Born again how? Not of corruptible seed. Not something perishable. Not something that can be destroyed by sickness or disease. But of incorruptible. And he now defined that incorruptible, he said, by the word of God. The word of God is incorruptible, which liveth and abideth forever. That was the scripture I used. What do I mean? I'm born again. If you look at my skin in the physical, born of the gametes of my parents, the sperm and the ovum from father and mother together, they formed the flesh. That's the natural birth. If you look at me in my spirit man, I got born. I was born in the natural 12th August 1980. But I got born again, October 1991. I got born again. And I rededicated my life to Christ November 2003. That year, yes. If you look at my spiritual DNA, it's made of the same stuff of the Word of God. The Word of God. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word. John 1:1-3. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him, without the Word of God, was not anything made that was made. And Peter said, I'm born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. The Word that made everything. The Word that was God. So, if you trace my spiritual DNA, you trace it to God, to His Word. And the Word of God is the sperm of God. Oh, Pastor, that's raw. The word sperm in the Bible is also the word seed. And if you look at Luke 8:11, Jesus spoke a parable in verse 11. You can put that on the screen. In verse 11, He said, now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. So if God is going to plant anything, if He's going to birth anything, it will plant the seed. Hey, if you want to have a baby and you are a man and you are a full-grown man, you carry your seed, you look for a willing woman who is able to receive the seed, and you plant the seed, praise God, and the seed will germinate and grow and germinate and grow, and then after 9 months, she will give birth to what is called the fruit of the body or the fruit of the womb. The fruit, they don't call a baby the seed of the womb. They call a baby the fruit of the womb because a baby is a fruit, but inside that fruit is also the seed. Inside every girl child, there are millions of eggs. All the eggs she needs throughout her lifetime for menstruation, for giving birth, for everything is loaded in her. Inside the male child, you have all the sperm that he will ever have in his life. They won't come to expression until you get to puberty, right? When you begin to become aware of who you are and all of that. But the moment you hit puberty and then you have all the signs and everything, and then you call you the other person. Oh, call you. Call you. What's the English word for call you? When you hit the other person as a guy, you plant a seed. Glory be to God. That seed will germinate. When God wants to create anything, it plants a seed. And what is the seed of God? The Word of God. If you want the God kind of result in your life, what seed are you going to sow? What you got on Google? What your friends told you about life? Men are not good. All men are scum. All women are dirty. No, you don't. You cannot do that and have the God kind of result. If you want the God kind of result, you go back to the bank of God. This is the bank of God. And all the seed are here. You pick out the seed you want. And if you want cashew, you don't plant potato. Am I right about that? So you look for cashew seed. You plant it by faith. You water it with thanksgiving and your confession. Day and night, day and night, day and night. It will germinate. Can I have an amen to that? So I am born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. No disease can corrupt me. I'm born again. I wish I could peel my skin and you see the seed of the Word of God. That was how I overcame COVID. Did I get exposed to it? Yes, I did. Not one day did they catch me. I knew it not. I prayed for people. I laid hands. I did whatever. What kills people is really not the sickness or the disease. It's the fear attached to it. If somebody goes to the hospital today and they run tests on them, the lab tests, and they say you are HIV positive, you know what's going to kill that person? It's not the disease itself. HIV is one of the laziest viruses in the world. It doesn't kill instantly. It takes a long time. Very lazy. But the spirit of fear attached to it. Oh! HIV!
HIV for the HIV.
I don't know what led to it, but if a child of God ever has it, they can trust God for their healing. And it has happened time and time. And it will happen time and time. Can I have an amen to that? It's like cancer too. When people have cancer, it's like a death sentence. And truly, every sickness and every disease has the tendency to kill somebody instrumentally. Little by little, little by little. That's why the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in that son, Jesus, should not perish, but have eternal life. What is perish? Sickness and disease is perishing gradually, gradually, gradually. If you allow a sickness and you don't deal with it, you don't attack it, you don't declare war on it, it has the tendency to fester. It will be killing that person gradually. Killing me softly with these words. Killing me softly. It will be killing the person softly. Softly. That's why you see cancer. It goes from stage to stage. They say stage one. And then it goes to stage two. And when it's not attacked, it goes to stage three. And then when it's not attacked, stage four. Terminal stage. Diabetes. Leprosy. All of those things, they go in stages. But hey, if you can go back to the original material that recreated you, you can draw strength from that and apply it to this natural body. The word of God has effect even on your natural body. Can I have an amen? It is that powerful. That's why I want you to get on this program, this mind renewal program. If your mind is not renewed, all I'm saying tonight is just, Pastor is preaching again. I've been there. I've been healed by God. There was a Sunday afternoon. I had this pain in my entire stomach region. I couldn't explain. It was really bad. I thought maybe I was hungry. I sent for my food. They got me my food. I ate my food. It got worse. I told my wife, let's go home. I managed to drive home. I rushed to the toilet. I thought if I use the convenience, I'll be fine. I used the convenience, it got worse. So I went to the bedroom. I said, let me lie down on the bed. I tried to do that. It didn't work. I stood up. It didn't work. I sat on the floor. It didn't work. I mean, when I hear people say, I tried to stand. I couldn't stand. I couldn't lie down. I said, they're exaggerating. That day, I wore their shoes. I started quoting healing scriptures. Then the Holy Spirit spoke on my inside. He said, healed people, what do they do? I said, yeah, they go out. He said, so what are you doing inside? The pain was so bad, my wife and children left me upstairs. They went to the flat downstairs to chill with their neighbors, to leave me so I could have some time to myself. Maybe I needed to rest. This wasn't about rest. I got on my shorts, put on a t-shirt, wore my palm slippers. I took baby steps down my house, down the stairs, baby steps. And I said, let me walk around the compound. My security guard was looking at me, a man from the north, young man. He was looking at me. So I managed. I walked to the back of my house where we had a tap. And the devil said to me, yeah, this is a good place to die. You know, when you will fall now and die, but they will rush out. They will turn on the tap on you to try to revive you. Immediately I knew the Holy Spirit doesn't speak like this. I know my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice. Can I have an amen to that? You should know your father that much. If your dad calls you on the phone now, even with another person's number, hello, Luadam Lola, how are you? Will you say, hello, who is speaking? Then we have to put a question on your paternity. There are people who call you, no, regardless of the number. Pastor Fred. Hey, well, don't even speak American English. I know it's you, sir. You know the voice. So when that imp spoke, I knew it wasn't the Holy Spirit. He doesn't intimidate us. Even when you're in error, he gently comforts us. The Bible calls him the comforter. He will nudge you. He will say, no, Damilola, don't do that. Don't go there. Go there and die. Just go and die. Go. You will die. No. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak like that. Can I have an amen to that? This thing in your body will kill you. No, he doesn't speak like that. No, he doesn't. So, I said, well, I know who you are. And because you said that, I will now walk around the house. I wanted to just walk to the back and then go to the fourth and then go upstairs. But because he now tried to kill me or tried to intimidate me, so I walked around the house. When I got to the gate, he said, well, you fall down here now. Security man is here. He will call your wife. Your wife is downstairs and the children. And then everybody will start shouting and they'll be shouting, but you'll be gone. I said, okay, because you said that, I'm now going to go out of my house and then I will walk around the estate. He said, ah, you better don't go. You die. Does he really care about you? You better don't go. You die. I said, okay, that which you said I should not do. Learn to do what the devil says don't do. Can I have an amen? What he says do, disobey. Go the opposite of the devil. Go the way of God. So I walked on the estate. The pain was still there. I quoted scriptures. I believed God. The pain was still there. I kept moving by faith. Then I got to a point in the estate. He said, now you are far away from home. You will die here now. No ID card in your pocket. You better go back home and take an ID card so that the people on the estate, you are new here, so that they will be able to recognize your body and call your family. I said, who cares about you? Do you really care about me? You are giving all the advice, Mr. Advisor, because you said that now, I'm going to go up. Now, I could go straight like this, walk on a straight line. It was like a valley. But the other way, my right was up. I would have to climb. I said, I would take the hard way. I would climb the hill. By the time I got to the top of the hill, I stood there and I looked up to heaven. I didn't pray anymore. My prayer had turned to my thoughts. I was thinking it. Jesus said in Luke 18:11, he said the proverb, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You will pray to a point that your thoughts becomes also, your thoughts become prayers. So I was thinking it. And I said, Lord, you are so massive. Looking at the expanse of the sky, from here to Ghana, to Cameroon, to Niger, to the far end of the earth, Australia. The same sky. I said, Lord, you are so wide. You are so huge. You are so big. And I'm so small in comparison to your size. I was just fellowshipping with the Lord. And then I remember Isaiah chapter 40 that says, all the nations of the earth are like a drop in a bucket before God. Look at how vast this world is. You know you can't travel to Australia in 24 hours. If you leave Nigeria for Australia, it will take you more than a day to get to Australia. You'll have to have a stopover somewhere and then take your flight again, several hours in this same world. In America, America has 55 states. America is so wide that they have difference in their time zones. The time in New York is not the same time in California. So as we are right now, some states in America are 5 hours behind us. Some are 6 hours behind us. Some are 8 hours behind us. Just one country. See how wide the world is. See how big, how massive. Yet, the Bible says, the nations, God bless you, media, you're doing a good job. Isaiah 40 and verse 15, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. What is a drop in a bucket? Is this significant? Come on, talk to me, church. Is it drops? When you have a bucket full of water, and then you now say, don't steal my water. Don't steal my water. You say, I need just a drop. If somebody takes a drop out of your bucket, does it make any difference? The Bible says all the nations, as wide as they are like a drop in a bucket. Follow me very closely. This is sanctified thinking. I was thinking. I thought through that pain, and I was healed. I didn't pray anymore. I said, so Lord, if all the nations are like a drop in a bucket, one drop of water before the Lord, can we try and locate Africa in the whole world? Have you seen the world map before? Does Africa occupy half of the world map? Does it even occupy a quarter of the world map? The entire landmass in Canada, massive. Let's locate Africa. Follow me, everybody, in this drop. Now, let's locate Nigeria inside Africa. Now, locate Oyo State inside Nigeria. You need a microscope, you know. Now, locate Ibadan inside Oyo State. Now, locate Elele, my location at that time, inside Ibadan. What's Elele in Ibadan? Do you know there are places in Ibadan? It will take you an hour from here to get there. Have you heard of this place where people are building houses? Amuloko. Have you heard of Bodo? Bodo Village. That's like on your way to Ogun State. I mean, there are some people living after Monia. It's like they're almost in Oyo. Aroro Makinde. There are places on the way to Osun State. You just take a bike, 50 naira. You'll be in Osun. You'll be in Ikiri. After Nigerian breweries. That's it. I've traveled about Osun. Do you know the place they call Oleyo! Oleyo! You will sweat. If you leave this place for that place, you will sweat. If you live there, you don't want to come to church here. Even Elebu is quite a distance from here. Now imagine Elele in Ibadan. I now said to the Lord in my thought, I said, now locate me. Now, each of you in your mind, try to locate me in that drop. And inside, as you locate me, I said, Lord, I don't know where the pain is. I didn't know which organ was just misbehaving. Now try to locate that organ. It's like taking an ant. And you are now trying to dissect a sugar ant. Or you know those small ants, the black ones, black ants, those ants that don't bite. They just carry gari all around, they carry gari on their head. Or carry kuli kuli. That's their job all their life, just carry something. Now, try and get the liver of that ant. Somebody sang a song in my secondary school. We used to sing that song to abuse one another. He said, what's your problem? He said, especially when you're a proud person. Say, melo gon le rai. Melo le rai. To laron yo un lenu. Aron. Even the aron, the worm, is bigger than the ant. And then an ant now says, well, I need to deworm. Deworm what? You need to de-ant. It's for proud people. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So locate my organ, whatever organ. Just thinking like that. God's people, I stand before you, I stand before God. That pain disappeared like that. On that spot. I looked to heaven and I began to give praise to God. I didn't even know when the pain left because I was just praising God. I was thinking of God in his awesomeness. God is not anybody's mate. You see, people that fight, I'm closing now. Interestingly, I can't even start my training tonight. The people that are bitter against God. See, I've been going to church all these years. God didn't answer my prayer. Was he blind? Was he blind all this while? What? You have the nerve to say that? Do you know who God is? Obviously, you don't know God. You knew him, you'll be on your face. I told the lady, and I think I told you last week, when I was married, I didn't have a child. I now stepped out of my marriage, and I got pregnant, and I have a child. Now I'm a single mother. The guy didn't marry me. Now I've been forcing God to have husband, no husband. And he's looking at me like this. He's looking at me. I said, how old are you? I'm 30, whatever she told me. I was an usher in my church. I was an usher. She was an usher. Beautiful lady, tall, everything, set. I'm on chon. I said, very good. I will run 3 services. All the other ushers, only 1 service. They will run home. Me, I will do first service, second service, third. I was serving. I said, who are you serving? With what motive were you serving? Your service to God was transactional. I serve you, you give me husband. So when husband did not come, to hell with God. Serve you, you give me money. So if money doesn't come, go to hell with God. We've missed it somewhere. No, they have missed it. Not we. They have missed it somewhere. I said to her, I said, you know what? She read my mind and she said it out loud in Yoruba. When I said, you know what? She saw my face. You know what? She said, Koti dojue, money, very good. Dojue, eh? You will fall down on your face and be asking God for mercy. You can argue all you like. God is not bothered. You can be the Agiwa General of the Federation. Agiwa General of the Federal Republic of the World. Argument General of the entire universe. You can't win against God. When fire hits the road, you just say, God, have mercy. You will be humble. You can fight God, fight God. Fight him for 35 years. One day you say, God, have mercy. And guess what? He will have mercy. But why did you waste 35 years out of your life? When you could have asked God the very first day he started, Lord, have mercy. I told her a little bit of my story, a little bit of my testimony, what I went through in my business last year. She said, what? If a man of God like you can go through that, what is my own? What is my own? Huh? Whoa, I'm not fighting God again. I said, you better. The awesomeness of God. Just thinking, church, just thinking about the awesomeness of God can grant you your visa. It is called sanctified thinking. Make time to think. Think through the word of God. You will discover that your challenges that look like a mountain will shrink into insignificance. You say, what is it? Why do I want to kill myself? Because I didn't eat yesterday. I don't even know whether we have food to eat tonight now. We don't even know what the government will say tomorrow. Don't care about what government will say tomorrow. Think about your father. My thinking through Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34, delivered me from financial anxiety. Forever. Behold the birds of the air. One, you don't know. They eat. They are fine. They don't gather. They don't store in the bank. They don't have piggy vest. They don't have piggy bank. They don't have insurance. They don't have saving online. They don't have auxiliary bank. They don't have domiciliary deposit. They have nothing. Those guys are flying every day. And every day they are eating fresh. Have they ever gone on strike? Any protest, minimum wage does not affect them. Your heavenly father feeds them. My dad, feeding the birds. Kilo Ashemi. So why won't my father feed me? He wants to feed you fat. He wants to clothe you well. Jesus spoke those words though. He said, behold the lilies of the valley. After addressing food, he now went to clothing. He said, look at the lilies of the field. They are ordinary grass. See how beautifully clothed they are. He said, not even Solomon, in all of his glory. Solomon, when the queen of Sheba came like this and saw the wisdom, the prosperity of Solomon, the meat on his table, the dressing of his waiters, the Bible says, the spirit left her. There was no more spirit in her. Dark on the streets. And Jesus said, and this woman was not a poor woman, no. The queen of Sheba. She had bastard money. She brought money. She brought gold. She brought gift to Solomon. But when she saw the wealth of Solomon and the wisdom, she said, half of what you have was not told me. So what I had was not half of what I'm seeing now. Chai, you are too much. She fainted. You hear me? Solomon in all his glory was not as clothed to dress up like any of them. Jesus now said, if God would clothe a grass, which today is, but tomorrow is thrown in the fire, in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Just began to think. Thinking through the scriptures. So God is interested in what I wear. God wants to give me brand new clothes, brand new shoes. God wants to meet all your needs. Jesus wrapped up that line of thought with verse 33. You seek first the kingdom of God
You seek first his righteousness and all these things that the Gentiles are running after. Pastor, I need to drive. I need to have a car. I need to do. Yeah, your heavenly father knows that you have need of those things. But you chase him and his kingdom and see whether those things will not chase you down or not. Can I have an amen to that? It's tough. It may be tough right now. Ah, Pastor, you can talk like that too because you know, you have gotten to a part. There's no particular level. Start from where you are. I call it sanctified thinking. Think through the scriptures. Man, that scripture delivered me from financial anxiety. I used to worry a lot. If they were giving a word for people that worry, especially about finances, I worried. Oh, I just moved to that estate that time. I had not spent 1 month. I was already worrying about how to renew my rent the following year. It was during that period the Lord delivered me as I sat down every day for 6 months. I was only on Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Every day. I read that Bible, that portion of the Bible, until that place was dirty. In my former Bible. It became dirty. In fact, it tore. Because every day I sat there and the Lord was explaining it to me, teaching me, don't worry, don't worry. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. Worry will not bring you any results. Worry will make your blood pressure go up and it's not good for your health. The Lord bless you. Stand on your feet, everybody. Were you blessed a little bit tonight? One person was blessed? Okay, I needed to be sure. From next week, I would teach from this manual. I'll give the responsibility to Folake and Zacchaeus to ensure we have photocopies to give to only those who come to Bible study. And when they are done, they will submit it back. Because some people may take it, when they are coming next week, they will leave it at home, expecting that we'll give them an hour and it won't work. You submit it. It will become yours eventually at the end of the series. If you are faithful, I will allow you to write your name on it at a particular point, then it will become yours. It's a material from John G. Lake Ministries in America, now being led by the man called Corey Blake, amazing minister of the gospel, and God has helped him. Especially in the area of mind renewal, we can never be the same again. The moment our mind is renewed, Kai, we won't be the same again. Can I have an amen? Do you believe that God can raise 100 millionaires from this church? You know, you can say, yes, sir, but in your mind, well, but someone like Misha, maybe Tanzania, because your mind is not renewed. But the moment your mind is renewed, when you hear something like that, you say, yeah. If not, why not? Why not me? Yeah?
Abby?
Have you ever met any billionaire with two heads or an extra head? That's just one. Can God heal cancer through any of us? Do you know you don't have to be in the pulpit before you go out there and preach the gospel to someone and they are dying and you lay hands on them and they recover? I mean instantly. Can I have an amen? Because you're not doing it in your capacity. You are doing it in the capacity of the one that sent you, who also goes with you, who also is inside you. So your hands become his hands. You lay your hands on the sick without even praying. He said, and they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You can mistakenly lay your hand on the sick and they recover. You touch me. When he says you taught me something left, glory to God. Can I have an amen? I trust God to use us that much in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Blessed be your holy name. We are so grateful. Thank you for this beautiful time of fellowship. Holy Spirit, I ask that you please expound these words and expatiate it in the hearts, in the spirit of your children. And let it be so digestible to their minds that when they sit on their own, this word will come alive again. And your people will fall in love with your word again. And they will sit down with your word, read, study, and meditate on it, confess it,
and walk the word, do what it says, and they will see explosive miracles and favor, healings and deliverances in their lives and through their lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We honor you. And as we go to our various destinations tonight, we ask that your holy presence will go with us. In Jesus' precious name. Oh yeah, you will keep us in the way, Lord. And you will preserve us from all evil. Oh yeah, and you will even bring help our way. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.